In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sin is not your problem, but God is your problem. What I mean is this, that your problem with sin is not that it has defiled you or even hurt others, but your great problem with sin is first and foremost that you have angered a holy God. You have made God your adversary. You have set yourself against him and have built up his wrath that must come down. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, we confess with King David. So your lies were against him. Your distrust of authority was against him. Your sharp tongue struck his heart. Your arguing with your parents is really arguing with God himself. Despising protesters or political opponents is really looking down on God himself, and the list could go on and on and on. It's his law that you have broken. It's his word, and you have fallen far short. Or you could stand with the Pharisee and show God how you have reformed your ways and gotten much better than previously, but it's never enough. You can tell him that you've done your best and have fixed the areas that you needed fixing and improving, but it's still never enough. The wrath of God will still come like a blazing wildfire, unable to be stopped, though you strenuously work day and night to put it out. And that is your problem. Fallen man always has a solution. No one will say they're perfect, but very few are to admit that their problem really is with God and with a holy and just God who must punish, or else he ceases to be just and holy. We all think we can fix our problems because we see them as defiling ourselves or as hurting our neighbor, which they do, but they're far greater. So Adam and Eve sew fig leaves together, tediously work to sew leaves together and make coverings for themselves, thinking they can cover their shameful sins. The Pharisee boasts about how much good that he has done. And our own fallen conscience thinks that all this is enough because we see defiling ourselves, we see hurting others as our great problem. And we fail to see that we have offended a holy and just God. So we stop the sin. We increase in goodness and godliness and become more moral and virtuous, kind and loving. We also make amends to those whom we have offended. So a husband comes with flowers in hand, which his wife willingly accepts. They've made up and good for them. But do those flowers satisfy God? Do they take away his wrath and diminish his anger? Far too many think that since the wife is satisfied, therefore God must also be satisfied. Yet the wrath of God continues to build like clouds over the mountains. Your works are never enough because your problem is with an angry God and no amount of works can ever satisfy him. Getting it right and making it up to others doesn't appease him. For no amount of scrubbing on your part can cleanse your body. No amount of scrubbing on your part can make you holy and pleasing to God. You see, if your trouble is only sin, that you have defiled yourself and hurt others, then perhaps, just perhaps, there is something you can do to fix it. But if your great problem is that you have angered and built up the wrath of God against you, what are we to do? So stop trying to make it up to him. Stop trying to diminish his anger. Stop trying to do something about it. Even if you give all your wealth to the poor and devote your day and night to prayer and study of his word, it still is not enough. It still would not pacify God. But in fact, the more you try to make it up to him, the more you build up his anger and his wrath against you, and the harder his justice must fall. So the tax collector comes to the temple with nothing. For he knew that he had sinned against God and against God alone. Who knows, maybe like Zacchaeus, he did give half his wealth to the poor and had repaid four times what he had stolen, maybe. Man is appeased, but God is not. It's never enough. So he refuses to even look up to heaven. For he knows the weight of his sins and just what they have done. They have separated him from a holy God, and more so, they have made God angry. He provoked the gracious Lord. And so have we by our sins. That's what you just confessed at the beginning of this service. That you have sinned against you, God, in thought, word, and action, and you justly deserve his punishment, both now and in eternity. So it's your fault that you got angry. Not your siblings, not your parents, not your children's, not your spouses, not your friends. It's only your fault that you gave in to that anger. For your sin is against God, and so your problem is with that holy God. So like the tax collector, come with nothing to God. Expose yourself, lie down bare and naked before God, exposing the very depths of your soul. For he sees them anyways. Discard the fig leaves. Come with nothing. Cry out to the very one that you have offended, the very one that you have angered, the very one whom you have set as your enemy, the very one who was against you. Cry out to him. And do not ask him for strength to do better so you can somehow balance out the scales, but ask him for atonement. Ask him for a covering. Ask him not to overlook your sin, but to cover his sin, to go through great lengths to offer a sacrifice so that you might be holy and presentable before God. For whatever you give to God, whatever you say, whatever you do is never enough. So he gives you all that you need. Your problem is with this holy God, and yet your solution is also found in that holy and gracious God. For God, who is rich in mercy, sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice not only for your sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Your sin was against God alone, so payment was made to God alone. Christ offered himself on the altar of the cross, not to appease your spouse or your friends, or to make it up to someone else that you have offended, but he offered himself to God. For against you, you only have I sinned. So his blood was shed to appease the wrath of God. He stood between you and God, and he would not move. He became the forsaken one of God, as God dumped out all his wrath on him so that you might be spared from ever even touching that wrath or anger. And by this he makes full atonement for you. He covers you with his blood, and he removes each and every one of your sins. God's wrath is satisfied. He has righted the wrong. God has reconciled his enemies to himself. And he has declared his enemies, you and me, those who stirred up his wrath, he has declared us not guilty. He has declared us to be his beloved children, who must receive only love and goodness from God. So the tax collector goes home justified because God covered his sin. God declared him not guilty. Whereas the Pharisee is not justified because he still thinks he can do something about it, that he's a good person and keeps improving, therefore God must be pleased. Regardless of what the world says, and it seems to be everywhere, but stop believing in yourself. Refuse to believe and to trust that you can do it. You aren't making it up to God. Not in your life and not by showing up here 1 hour on Sunday. You're not making it up to God. You bring nothing to the table. Except, of course, your little children who never behave the way that they should. But then again, God doesn't forgive you and justify you because you're such wonderful parents who have everything in order and have such perfect little angels. But in spite of that, he forgives you. He forgives you and justifies you because he is the God who forgives the sinner and justifies those who have angered him. He is a loving and gracious God who does not treat us as our sins deserve, but out of his boundless mercy, love, and grace, pours out his forgiveness on us yet again. For Christ is your cover. Christ is your atonement. Christ is your sacrifice. Christ is your justification and your sanctification. He righted the wrong for you. He offered the payment for your sins. He drained the cup of God's wrath so that nothing may be poured down your throat. And then he fills a new cup in his blood and pours that down your throat. And you receive life and salvation. The God that you have wronged, the God that you have stoked to anger, is the God who saves you. So do not fear, he says. I am no longer angry at you. Because of Christ, I am no longer mad. He has endured all the wrath and punishment in your place. He is a full and sufficient sacrifice for you. Do you doubt this? Then take and eat. Do you still think that there's something you have to do to make it up to God? Then take and eat again, and again, and again. For I justify, God says. I provide the atonement for your sins. I have done it all for you. You do nothing. Be certain that I am enough for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.